We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey there. We at Blue Wire wanted to thank you for your continued support of this podcast. With over 90 podcasts across our network, we are committed to bringing you great content to fill that sports-shaped hole in your heart. To find more Blue Wire Pods, search for us on iTunes or check out BlueWirePods.com. And remember, one day sports will return and it will be glorious. Thanks for listening. On to the show.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Duup and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Part 2 of our mailbag. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Okay, next question. Will the Pelicans bring in Didi this offseason? And that's from our buddy Kane.
Yeah, and I think the answer is yes. I mean, I feel like that was the intention all along. Maybe even, you know, towards the end of this season if things had played a certain way. But I think the more interesting question, and unless number one you disagree with that, I feel like that's what the Pelicans would like to do. Before I go on, I have a follow up question to Kane. So do you agree that that's going to happen, or that it would be, it's likely that it happens?
Oh yeah, I think they bring him over. They try to get him into the system. I don't think they risk him signing with a European league because it's harder to get out of those contracts.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess so. Specifically, the question I'm wondering about is: does this pandemic and what's happening in the NBA this year or recently, does that change the likelihood up or down materially in your mind? So is it more likely now than it was before, or is it less likely now than it was before that they would bring Didi in for next season, or no change?
No change.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it may even increase the odds. Because of draft uncertainty and just having even less information. And not to say that the Pelicans don't know what they're doing, but I think, you know, even having less of a sample size from college players, having less film, like you said earlier, to look at, like, at least you feel like you know what you have a better idea of what you're getting in Didi. And so I think maybe this all makes it more likely that he comes over.
Dude, that's why you draft Poku, because you basically, I mean, like, I doubt Poku would want to stash, but you treat him as a redshirt player, and you know, because you're already banking on whatever that maybe is a sure thing with Didi. He's definitely not a sure thing. But he's a, you know, like a more familiar thing, and you bring in Poku and you treat him as a red shirt that Jackson Hayes was supposed to be until all kinds of injuries happened. And you slowly bring him along, because the thing with the Pelicans is, yes, on average, a draft pick doesn't produce the first 3 years, but they don't need that from any draft pick. Mm-hmm. They don't need, you know, production. They already have a bevy of young talent that a boatload of young talent that they're already trying to develop. And they are also in an interesting situation where they're ready to be a good team as well. So, like, they can afford to bring a guy like Poku along slowly and make sure he's developing right and he is going through the proper process, unlike a guy like Marquise Chris or even, like, you know, like what Phoenix tried to do with Dragon Bender. Those guys were thrown onto the fire in a bad team and expected to produce starter-level minutes, whereas – I don't think that would be the case with a guy like Poku, and you could take a big swing and afford for him to develop slowly, and yes, bring Didi over and treat your 2020 draft pick as a red shirt.
Yeah. And so good. So Samuel Wilcher asked a follow-up question around Didi, and I think it ties in well. It's where do you think he would be drafted in this season's draft or the summer? Is he first round pick?
Yes. I think he is a first round pick in the 20s.
Yeah. He was what, late 30s for us?
35 or 39. Well, one of those were, those picks were traded for each other or something like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. I think it's definitely borderline. I mean, I could see him sneaking into the end of the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he could be first round, because, like, yeah, I think he could be a first round pick this year.
All right, we gotta hit some of the Tejeda's questions, because these are good. I think all three of them are good. So the first one is Pelicans related. Let's start with that. So how close do you think the Pelicans get to their level of play pre-COVID if the season's to resume with all games to be played? So obviously we already mentioned that Darius Miller is the key to success, and the Pelicans would be even better, you know, when he gets back. So I feel like it's a hard question to evaluate, just because the schedule gets so tissue paper soft, and so, like, it's hard to know truly how much better they're playing, because they're playing against shit teams. But, like, is the automatic assumption, if they play well against a soft schedule, that they got back to their prior level of play and even got better? Or how do we level set against, you know, the level set the schedule against performance? It's difficult for me to do, but do you have thoughts? Do you think they would get back to where they were? Do you feel like,
well, you know? So, like, normally I would say, like, you look at the soft schedule, and the teams that were, like, losing teams are probably going to be even worse, because they've had all this time off, and really, like, what motivation do they have to really gear up for the next 15 games? Like, they don't. The problem is the Pelicans are also playing a large subset of teams that are in line for the playoff chase as well. So Portland, Sacramento, Memphis, San Antonio, multiple times, they're playing, you know, that group of teams that is in the playoff chase, and all those teams are going to be thinking, like, this is our only shot, and they're going to try to go hard. And I feel like if the regular season was continuous and they had the wear and tear of the whole season on them, and the Pelicans had this momentum, it would have been a little bit easier. Now I feel like it's more coin flippy. But my other answer is that Brandon Ingram spent a whole off season unable to shoot the ball, and came back shooting 40% from three and 85% from the free throw line. I'm assuming he has now also spent a few months not doing anything. So I expect him to shoot like 60% from three and about 100% from the free throw line. And if that's the case, if, you know, people like to point out trends, that's a trend. I think that's how statistics work. It's the cubic fit. Yeah, I think that if Brandon Ingram plays that well, the Pelicans will have no problem making the playoffs.
Well, then that would mean that what Ja's gonna shoot 100% from three? Is that
what if this is like we get spring we get preseason Nikhil back?
Are you talking about his play or his singing abilities?
Yes.
Oh, that would be nice. And then based on your prior logic, you trade the hell out of him in the offseason.
What prior logic, Mason? We didn't talk about that.
fair enough. Oh, man. Well, what about the other questions? So these are both good. I want to hit to number three before we get to number two. Any impulse purchases during quarantine?
No. I mean, technically, yes. I bought an undisclosed amount of stock in a tanker oil company when the oil was crashing.
That certainly qualifies.
and I did well with it. And that was extremely impulse buy and a total gamble. I was very bored. But I sold the next day. So and did
day well. Trading, Schmidt, watch out. Watch out, world.
That's the only, I don't trade. I'm not a stock market person. I don't trade. And so that's why it qualifies as a very impulse thing to do. And I got out because, again, like I said, I don't fool with this stuff. So I got out. But I was like, oh, my logic was like, man, oil is really crashing. I wonder what industries do really well when oil is cheap. And then obviously, like, the answer is like the transportation industry. I mean, like, airlines and cars are all shut down. So like, that's not going to be the case.
Yeah.
And so there's then I was like, oh, well, shipping hasn't really stopped. And specifically, like tanker shippers, where they like part of the problem with oil was like they were running out of physical storage space, and like, well, these tanker shippers like literally store oil and they also use oil, so like their costs of like moving their product is now cheaper, and so it was like a total gamble and could have completely backfired, but I was like, yeah, like let me just invest in this like tanker company stock, and it turned out to be a good bet.
Nice That's awesome. I don't have any impulse purchases unless you count booze. I feel like, so it's, and it, the whole, you know, self quarantining and having to spend 7 days a week in your own home and not doing stuff out and about, you know, I thought that, you know, everyone shared about about their health and being very careful. And I was, you know, I think in my life, historically, what this last couple months have taught me is that I think I've drastically overplayed the role of alcohol in my likelihood of getting sick and underplayed just everything else. And like, I feel like, knock on wood, I've been very healthy over the past month or two. And I'm definitely drinking alcohol more frequently, just than I was before.
You're turning into an alcoholic.
No, I'm not going that far. sure, hope not. But
you're just turning back into a New Orleanian. It's okay.
Yeah, fair enough. But like the other side of it is like, you know, I guess I feel like just I've undersold in my life the risk or just like the likelihood of getting sick just from day-to-day life, and like especially like in Chicago or other big cities, like the public the commute to work and public transit, like all this stuff is just like you're so likely to pick up just random germs. And I feel like I you know, I think the fact that I haven't really, again, knock on wood, had any sort of anything remotely close to even just like a cold is like telling me how much that your environment really plays into your health, you know.
Were you someone that got sick frequently?
No, I mean, relatively infrequently, but I did, I mean, like, I think I definitely got colds more often, especially once I moved to Chicago. The weather is probably part of that. The public commute rather than driving to work every day, I think is part of it. But like, I don't think I really realized the degree to which that's true until this last couple of months.
You remember when we did a podcast live when you were really, really sick?
Oh yeah. No. Oh
like
yeah.
2 feet I was just across from me. Like that's not something that would happen post COVID.
No, I was just like running into, it was after the open practice, and like after I spoke every time I'd mute, and or not, I said not to mute myself because we were right next to each other, and I would just like run into the concourse and just cough up a lung and then come back.
Oh my God.
It was bad.
That was, definitely reflecting on my hygienic choices in the past. But you know, my other, as far as like impulse purchases go, like random Uber Eats stuff.
Yeah.
I actually impulse
purchased. The discounting's been crazy on that stuff, I feel like, lately.
I also impulse purchased a speed parachute, like, you know, when you attach to your like waist or whatnot and do a sprint with. Because I was like, I am bored and I'm bored of like running regular sprints and there's no hills in New Orleans.
I guess I don't know if qualifies as an impulse purchase, but I was talking to you about running shoes because like I hadn't bought new running shoes in a while, and now that the gyms are gone, it's basically home workouts and running more. And so it's definitely a coronavirus themed purchase because I'm getting back into running and finally feeling like I'm getting my running stamina up more, which feels pretty good. And yeah, I mean, I never knew the value of canned goods other than to eat until I'm now using them as like weights for some cardio and
my
workouts that are, so our gym has doing online classes now where you just like can literally, some classes are no weight, nothing at all. And then others are like just using canned goods. And like, you'd be surprised how tired and heavy your shoulders start to feel after a half an hour of this stuff. I never imagined it possible.
Oh yeah. I bet. Lifting them cans of beans, baby.
There's no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partner, BetOnline. NASCAR is back, and BetOnline has hundreds of other games, events, and sports to get in on. You can still bet on simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC events 24/7. Or you can participate in a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge, a March Madness-style NFL simulation tournament you can enter for free. And coming up next Sunday, BetOnline has ex-Chicago Bulls Ron Harper, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges join them to discuss the Michael Jordan documentary on what they're calling The Final Dance. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus and check out all the action. BetOnline, your online wagering solution.
I guess that leads really nicely into his last question, which is, what are the top three things y'all are going to do once things are back to normal?
Yeah, I mean, number one for me is very easy. Well, actually, number one and number two is pretty easy because my bachelor party was supposed to be tomorrow, leaving tomorrow for the weekend. So, and obviously that's canceled. And then our wedding plans are still TBD at this point. We're going to make a call for sure at the end of the month because that was supposed to be at the end of August. And so that's like getting all that figured out is certainly a priority number one. And that's, I mean, we'll probably have to figure things out before things are truly back to normal, but like getting, you know, actually doing those things, it would be awesome. And then also just like, we moved during this, like a month ago, we moved to neighborhoods and we're in like the foodie part of town now. And like, there's so many good restaurants that we want to go eat at. And some of them are open for takeout, but like, it's still not really the same. So we're looking forward to like, to just going to these restaurants and stealing reservations when they're even only at 25% operating capacity, which is probably what's going to happen to start out, something like that. But, so those are the two big things. I mean, there are probably a ton of other stuff like the gym, I guess, but that's what I'm thinking about. What about you?
Yeah. Nothing is like important as a wedding or a bachelor's party. Just playing frisbee, just having someone to throw with. And actually playing an organized game. That's what I want the most.
Yeah, I forget. I mean, like, I thought about that. Like, I saw, like, pictures from, like, like on this day on Facebook. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's, like, baseball season right now. And I played every single year since I was a kid. Like, even I found men's leagues every summer, every city I've been in. This is the first one now that's, like, I'm not playing. And so my shoulder is probably thanking me because can certainly use a season off, but
you're gonna come back like Brandon Ingram pitching 90 miles an hour, baby.
Yeah, but we'll see when that happens. But yeah, I mean, organized sports is definitely something that I'm missing.
Cool. Well, final question for the podcast, and it is also It's actually it's two final questions. They're both silly, so I feel like it's a good way to end it. They're both from the same person, Anthony Enriquez. Yeah. And the first question is, did you see the Pelicans-related stats people trying to hype up Etuan Moore's three-point percentage, and how does that make you feel?
Uncle E, why would that make me feel bad? Wait, like he's been one of the most consistently good three-point shooters in the league. I don't understand why that's a, you know, why that could be a bad
thing.
Who
are the Pelicans-related stats people? Like, are they like people specifically on Twitter that are more stats-oriented and they're hyping it up? Is it the Pelican stat people themselves, like, you know, the team account and the PR account? Like, who are these stat people? So I feel like there's got to be some sort of clarification because there aren't that many.
I think Jim posted something from on the Pelicans website. I think there is something that recently came out about that.
Okay. Because, like, yeah, I was like, there's not that many, like, analytical people on Pel's Twitter. There's a bunch of people that want to be analytical. But yes, I feel like there's nothing going on. So if they want to hype up Etuan Moore's 3-point percentage, great. That's fabulous. Good for Etuan. I have spoken at many lengths about Etuan on the history of this podcast, and my opinion is well known.
And yeah, I almost forgot about this question. I'm so glad. I know what you're going to close with, and it was hilarious. And so I'm excited about this.
Okay, so would you rather be Derek Favors when he told New Orleans the New Orleans cab driver that he is a Falcons fan, or would you rather be Josh Hart's keyboard?
The Josh Hart's keyboard part was so funny. I lost it when I saw that. Probably Favors.
Yeah, would, like, I rather be broken in half, or would I tell someone that I like?
And also, you're Derek Favors. You're like, you're 7 feet tall. I think you're gonna be fine.
Yeah, I would rather be Derek Favors because that means I make $17 million. And I play basketball for a living. And I'm not a keyboard being broken in half. What kind of question is that? Why would I be a keyboard? You think Josh Hart gets that heated in the middle of a basketball game?
I want to say so, but also he's the guy that makes jokes about no one high-fiving him in the middle of a basketball game. So, like, maybe he's just bipolar. I don't know.
Do you think he actually feels that way, or he does it for the camera? The keyboard breaking. Because this is not the first time he's destroyed video game equipment.
I mean, he could be accentuating certain things, but I believe, like, he gets that frustrated.
And I'd like to consider myself a gamer, and I've played a lot of online gaming, like, especially like arena shooters. Like, I play, like, I feel like, which are some of, like, the most toxic online communities when it comes to gaming. Which he was playing an arena shooter as well. But yeah, I've played a lot in my career, and I've never, like, I've experienced, like, moments where I'm like, wow, that was ridiculous, like, that shouldn't have happened, and I've been, like, upset, but I've never ever, like, thrown my controller or headset or keyboard or just done anything destructive with my property. And I guess, like, part of that is because, like, I had to, like, fight for any video game that I could own growing up. Like, my parents weren't very supportive of it, and just for other reasons. But so, like, maybe, like, if I just had, like, access to any kind of, like, console or gaming system I wanted at the tip of my fingertips, I'd be more careless with it. I don't know. I just never felt the desire to destroy my own property in that fashion.
Yeah. I mean, the one significant difference is obviously, like, Josh Hart makes more money than us, and he could have a storage closet full of just backup equipment if he knows he plays games like that,
right?
And honestly, if I had that, I would not hesitate to, if I get really pissed, just want to play. Like, there's, like, so this actually ties into the Billions premiere, the end of the episode, and I haven't seen this before. Maybe I've seen this once before in some other type of video or something, but, like, it's basically a room where you just go and you can break shit.
Like, yo, I was just about to suggest, I was like, if I had enough money, I would just like have one of those in my house. Like, I know there's like businesses that let you do that, like bachelor party event type businesses. Yep. That's like axe throwing. So that's what it was. There's like a demolition business.
Yeah.
But like, if I was like rich enough, I would just have one in my house where I could like throw, like just like full of like breakable things that are like really cheap china or furniture. And like, I'd get to like replenish like every month or so and just like break things. Like I did say, like, you know, like the, I guess the one time I could feel similar is like, I don't know, I was in high school at some, and at, I was, I forget what I was mad at specifically, because obviously like, I don't know, I forget what I was mad at specifically, but I had a ninja star that I owned, and I was very upset, and I threw the ninja star at my closet door, and it embedded itself in the door, and there's been a hole in my closet door since then where the ninja star was. But yeah, that is the most destructive I've been with my property. But I would love a room where I could throw many ninja stars. That'd be cool. Or like have slingshots and stuff. Just go in there with like safety goggles.
Love that. Yeah. That, I mean, that'd be so much fun.
Yep.
What's the most you would pay right now to do that? Like where you could justify it and say like, that was a cool one-time thing.
I don't know. Probably not more than 200. Depending on how long, like, do I get to be in there for an hour?
Yeah. Just 200. Like how many things could you possibly break? You know,
200 for the hour. That's the most I would pay.
Yeah. I don't think I would go that high unless you can gamify it and like do it with a group of people and like whoever, like you get points for breaking stuff. Like then I could get into it big time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I 200, but like I have access to a wrecking ball and I can like destroy buildings.
Take it up a level. Love it.
They should like cities should raise money by like letting amateurs like demolish buildings that need to be demolished, and like it's like, oh, you pay like however much money to do this, and that's like, and all that money just goes to the city. That'd be cool.
Great idea.
And instead of paying professionals, they would be making money off of it.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Elect me, please. I am a politician.
And the insurance that you would probably owe for a business like that, you could probably still turn a profit. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yes, it is the model. It's the model that I would instill if I conquered the world with my iPhone and my cities. Like I would have that part of my city planning is to like menial like destruction tasks instead of like employing people, just like outsource it to public citizens and have them pay for the privilege to break shit. And that is what I would do with my iPhone power.
Nice.
Imagine what I could do with an Android.
See, that's where I thought we would go with that question. Neither of us did, because we're both Android guys, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, we'd be fucked because we don't know how iPhones work.
We would just be able to do less. We still have access to everything in the world via the internet. We just have less capabilities on our phone.
It'd just be a little slower.
And then 4 years from now, when Apple pushes out an update, we'd be screwed. We'd be part of planned obsolescence. Speaking of which, I am planning to make this podcast obsolete by ending it. So thank you for listening, folks. I hope this was an entertaining one for you.
things I go through to get auto loan rates as low as 0.99% APR for 60 months on new vehicles with PenFed.
You are aware that you don't have to be a military member to save hundreds on your auto loan, aren't you? Anyone can join PenFed.
As someone terrified of heights, I probably should have looked into that.
Probably.
Drop me off at the shore.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/autos or call 1-800-247-5626. Advertised rates available through the PenFed Car Buying Service. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.